You're listening to Pack Dynamics, a Fandom on the Rocks podcast. Hello, welcome back to Pack Dynamics, a Teen Wolf podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Allison.
And this is Season 1, Episode 2, Second Chance at First Line. Hard to say because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you are into lacrosse, which the show absolutely is.
Absolutely. They tried to make it a thing and it's just not a thing.
It's not a thing. I mean...
But it's like not the thing that they were hoping it would be.
No. I mean, right now I'm into football, well, soccer, but football because I was watching both Ted Lasso and Yellow Jackets at the same time.
Yes, yes.
Which is, you know, the cannibal girl football show and the sad boy football show. So,
love that.
But yeah, lacrosse never took off and I don't know why.
But we can live vicariously in a world where lacrosse is the big deal through Teen Wolf.
Yes, because this episode picks up almost exactly where the first episode left off.
And
I think that's because they were planned to air back to back because this aired June 6th, 2011, which is when the pilot aired.
Yeah.
The summary is, now aware that he's become a werewolf, Scott must deal with hunters trying to catch him, another werewolf named Derek Hale, and the pressure of normal teen life.
Like, being a teenager isn't hard enough, honestly.
It might be helpful when you have superpowers.
I mean, you know, you win some, you lose some. I don't really know.
I mean, now he can leap tall buildings in a single bound, but he can also smell other people's body odor at an accelerated rate. And, so, like, ugh.
Yeah. Ugh, yikes.
Imagine what that locker room smells to him now.
Yuck.
Ew. Ew.
And, like,
ew.
Not even just the boys, but, like, the plumbing.
Yeah. Or, like, the woods, which we like the smell of, because, like, ooh, dew and grass and dirt. And he's like, ooh, rabbit shit.
Dirt, mud, decaying bodies.
Yeah, that's a real problem for him because that's what they're still looking for.
True facts.
But first, he has more lacrosse practice to get
through. They do a lot of lacrosse in season one.
Yes, it is absolutely the thing that they are set on. I think maybe they're using it as like a metaphor for struggle and the battle inside of him.
Maybe. I don't know. They needed to give him an extracurricular activity. This was a nice one.
Because he couldn't be in the Glee Club.
No, there was already a show on about that.
It's already happening. Because this is where he has to, like, hold in the wolfness, right?
Yeah.
Because when he gets too hyped up, the wolf starts coming out and he's all teeth and golden eyes. And he can't keep it in.
And he can't keep it in. But he has one of his classic Scott getting very overwhelmed by the horrible, horrible, horrible things that are happening to him in this locker room. Now, my notes for this are so... I got so excited about this scene. Look at the lens flare. I love a good lens flare. The cinematography was beautiful. But also a thing that hits me about these early seasons is that it's a 2010s MTV teen show. There are so many naked boys. Like, there are so many shirtless men in this. There's so many shirtless men in Teen Wolf.
Yeah, I did especially notice that in this episode. I was like, okay, how often is he going to be without his shirt?
And it happens a lot. And it's like, I get it. I get who you were like aiming for. Like, I understand. But like, oh, no. I don't need any more shirtless people. I don't need it. Thank you.
Yeah, I was having like some Glee flashbacks. It was like, damn, you gotta, I know it was sport ball, but like, fucking chill.
Thank you.
Let that man put his shirt back on.
Well, I had to put a shirt back on. And then... You know, I'm trying real hard to be like an equal opportunity shipper in this watch through. So in this scene, apparently I wrote down that Skiles is ogling Scott, but just a little. Just a little.
He was
like, okay, you go, bro. You go.
Well, I think because Skiles is an equal opportunity ogler.
I believe so. And we'll get to that when we get there.
Yep. He's not going to not look at something pretty.
No, he's not going to not look at something pretty.
It does.
And the two of them have perhaps my favorite conversation of the episode.
About getting shot.
So Scott's just like having some moments and the two of them go back and forth. Her dad is one of them. Her dad shot me, Allison's father, with a crossbow. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
So my question about him getting shot with a crossbow was there no wolfsbane involved? Because there were like no lingering consequences to him getting shot with a crossbow.
I would imagine not. Because I don't know if they've introduced Wolfsbane into canon yet.
Yeah. Well, it does later with the body.
That's true. So they so Derek kind of introduces it, but the hunters haven't introduced it.
Yeah. Like, the lore around the Wolfsbane in Teen Wolf is a bit shaky.
It starts off as pretty solid, and then it gets a little wiggly, and then it gets wigglier, and so, yeah. Suffice it to say that there are a lot of herbs in this show that will be used as both good things and bad things, and Wolfsbane is one of them, and apparently the hunters haven't figured that out yet. Maybe they were hoping that the flashbang would be enough.
I guess, yeah, or just stunning him with getting shot with a crossbow would be like, we got him and pinned him, but...
And we pinned him, and it's a whole, physical thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Daddy Argent doesn't like Wolfsbane yet.
Makes him sneeze.
Maybe.
But yeah, I was like, oh, right. There was no issues there with getting snagged with that. But yeah. But yeah, so, the anger is McCall's trigger. And there's this whole back and forth throughout this entire episode of Derek doesn't want Scott playing in the game on, as with all teen shows, there's a big game on Saturday. And Derek doesn't want Scott playing on the game on Saturday because he thinks that Scott won't be able to rein in his wolfing tendencies and that he'll out the werewolf to everyone. And he's not, totally wrong.
He's not wrong.
At this stage, people in Beacon Hills do not seem to be aware that there are supernatural things happening around them.
No, not. They don't seem to understand the creatures that live among them.
Yeah. Stiles also does not really want Scott to play. To play because danger. Scott, on the other hand,
correct,
is like, I just made first line. Fuck all of you. I want to play.
Right. Which is a totally reasonable thing. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was younger getting so mad at him, being like, oh, of course you have to not play. You're going to hurt somebody. And now I'm just like, no, you earned that. Go.
Yeah. So we really go back and forth the entire episode of, sometimes Scott tries to get out of the game with Coach and being like, oh, I'm sick or whatever he tells Coach. And then other times he's like, no, I'm going to play. And he's like, no, I'm not going to. Which, as younger, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Just pick one. And now I'm like, no, this seems like a teenage boy. I think it's really funny.
A choice I would make, yeah.
When you get older and you watch younger coded characters.
Yeah.
And you're like, God, these people are really annoying. They're supposed to be.
Like, it's one of the things that, as we talk about the fandom of Teen Wolf and the good things and the bad things that they do, one of the things is that Scott gets a lot of hate. And
yeah,
he gets a lot of hate, like vitriolic hate. And a lot of it is race-based, and that's a separate kettle of fish. But this in particular, I remember it's the same problem that I had with the fifth Harry Potter book.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Which was just it was 400 pages of a 15-year-old boy having a mental breakdown. And it's not that you're not entitled to that, but as a fictional character, that's not what I wanted to read.
Mm-hmm.
So as I watch this back, I used to work in a high school and I know high school kiddos. And if Scott McCall was a real child, a real kiddo I had at school, he'd be my favorite. As a person, Scott is incredibly good. He is so soft and sweet and earnest, and he tries hard and he believes in good people. And he's a good kid.
Yeah.
He's a good kid. Stiles is a little shit.
I know. That's why I like him.
But that's what makes him an interesting character.
Totally.
Because if Stiles were a real child at school, he'd be calling it. I'd have to go get him out of class at least twice a week.
Oh, absolutely.
He would be on the brink of just every possible behavioral rule breaking, authoritarian, whatever. And he'd be a little shit. He'd be a little monster.
Well, he gets away with
He gets away with so much.
Well, he gets away with it because his dad is the sheriff.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot in this show that can be explained because it is a small town.
Yeah, a lot.
So a lot of the dynamics, pack dynamics, of the characters and the personal relationships, I think can maybe be, and maybe this is reading into something that doesn't exist because it's a show written by Jeff Davis or created by Jeff Davis, but this is a small town. These things don't happen in a Seattle, an LA, a New York, but when it's a small town and weird things happen, you're like, no, that's just so-and-so up on the hill. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, the sheriff's got it. It's fine.
The sheriff's got it. Yeah, his son is acting up in class again. He's just kind of odd. Like, let it fly.
He's kind of weird. It's fine.
His best, you know what? That's the sheriff's son's best friend. He's got some issues. Just let it fly.
Just let it fly. Yeah. 100%.
Sheriff's son's best friend's girlfriend. She's cool. Let it, you know, like.
Yeah.
Small town relationships are, they hit different.
Yeah. And then, you know, we'll learn this kind of about the Argent family business.
Mm-hmm. The family business.
Well, my father, your father is a federally licensed arms dealer.
Right.
It's like, you know, Chris Argent comes to town and he's like a businessman. He's a big, fancy, you know, like three somethings in a trench coat?
Yeah.
He's, you know, a very fancy businessman. And so, it's, you know, they're not going to call him out on it. Like, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right, is the dynamics are completely shaped by where they are.
Yep. It's just like a nice layer when you start kind of digging down a little bit. You can add these things to the show, or you can ignore them, like whatever you want to do. But yeah.
Yeah. I also want to point out that this particular lacrosse scene is the first mention of Greenberg.
I wrote that down in my notes. I was like, well, actually, my note was simply Greenberg in all caps with an exclamation point. Greenberg was my note.
the eternal scapegoat, Greenberg.
I know. That's the kind of shit in a TV show that I absolutely love.
Yes, correct.
It makes no sense, right? Like, it has no plot bearing. It's just funny.
It's just funny.
Yeah. And you don't need to build on it. There doesn't need to be lore around Greenberg. He doesn't need a backstory. He's just fucking Greenberg.
I don't think he ever gets an actor. He might. I don't think he does.
I honestly don't remember. And
I don't remember.
I don't care. It's great.
Like, I feel like at one point we end up meeting Greenberg, but maybe that's just in fic. I don't remember.
Oh, this is the next installment of Is It Canon or Is It Fanon?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to fail. It's going to be outstanding. All right. So, you know, Scott's trying his best. He's feeling wolfy. He ends up hitting Jackson a little too hard at practice and kind of messes him up a little bit.
Yeah, and separates his shoulder.
And Styles is like, oh, we got to go right now. And I love that the two of them, Scott is like wolfing out and Styles is like wrapped around him, like running to to the building away from Jackson and everyone who's like attending to the medical scene. And who do they run past? But I just creep out in next to the bleachers, Derek Hale.
Yeah, just fucking lurking in the mist.
He doesn't like, he barely like, he doesn't like look at them. It's like, did you miss this?
Yeah.
Like, sir, you are not being a very good mentor right now, sir.
Yeah. Derek, again, is a child and honestly does not know what he's doing at
Absolutely
all. And
not.
I think is another character that has been fanonized in a lot of ways as an adult mentor who knows what he's doing, or I don't know, fic and fanon has really taken Derek into a lot of directions, and some of them I absolutely love, right?
Yeah.
Some versions of Derek you're like, great, love it, perfect. But season one Derek is like fail wolf 9000.
Oh my gosh, one and two.
And he doesn't know what he's fucking doing, and that's great because that's the point of him. He's a lone wolf. He's a child out in the woods, and he's looking for friends, which we said in the last episode. And now I think sometimes his lurking off in the distance is simply to make him look menacing for the audience to throw them off the fact.
Because he's supposed to be a villain. Like, we believe right now that he killed the body in the woods.
Yeah.
And, you know, hunters are after him, so he must be a bat. He dresses in like black leather coats and has a cool car. Like,
he's got black hair and stubble. He's the villain.
He's the villain.
Some of this is simply like, so he breaks into Scott's room just to scare him out of not playing on Saturday. And there's this whole scene of Scott and Styles are pre-zooming. They're having a video chat and it stutters and, oh no, there's someone behind you. And it's Derek, and it's supposed to be kind of scary and what's happening. And it sets up Fanon of Derek just like breaking into people's bedrooms at all hours, which he does.
Yeah.
So not Fanon, canon that he breaks into people's bedrooms.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to make him look scary and dangerous, and that he is potentially the person who bit Scott and killed the girl.
Yeah.
Now, we know what's up because we've seen the show or most of the show for me.
And so the answer is no, he didn't.
He's a soft boy, too.
He is a soft boy. And does he make good choices? Not really. But no. He's a soft boy at heart. Like, they all are. They're just, like, that's the overwhelming theme of Teen Wolf. They're just kids.
Yeah, they're just kids.
They're just kids. All of them. Every stinking one of them.
So I think when you look at it through that lens, if they're all just kids, a lot of their choices start to make more sense. Like, Lydia, you know, we have a scene kind of right after this of Lydia and Scott doing what I think is maybe the most terrifying thing that's ever happened in Teen Wolf, which is solving a math problem in front of the class on the board.
Oh, my heart just skipped a beat just thinking about it. Like, oh.
Horrendous. Terrifying.
Absolutely not.
It does reveal that not only is Lydia gorgeous, she is a genius.
Yeah, she's incredibly smart and knows it.
And she knows it. And it's adding the layer to her that she is, I'm going to be like, better than what she has portrayed. But she is. She's more than the queen bee with hair and fashion and all these things.
Yeah.
But she is also just a kid telling off Scott for hurting her boyfriend.
And it's like, if you like listen to the words that she says, it's not about like, you hurt Jackson and I love Jackson, so like, don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's, I need to be dating the captain of the winning lacrosse team.
Yes.
And you like caused that to no longer be the case. If he is hurt, we're no longer the winning lacrosse team.
Yes.
And so it's like, it's so detached.
Yeah. And there, it's like she found a status symbol.
Yeah.
Because you grow up thinking you need status symbols.
Right.
And when you meet her parents, you're like, ah, yes.
I understand.
I get it. Because they're all just kids playing parts.
Yeah. They're just putting on costumes and trying their best. And
yeah. As we all did as kids.
Absolutely.
So
they're still in class, and hearkening back to the 2010s clothing, Allison is on the stairwell with that like spaghetti strap tank top that goes the way like to her like mid-calf.
Yes.
It goes like all the way down, and she's wearing a giant chunky belt in the middle. And I felt myself turn like 15 again and listen to Avril Lavigne and put the belt on.
Yeah, that top looked like, how do you sit? And it was incredible. No notes.
But speaking of fanon or canon, Allison's late for French class.
Yep.
So she actually does go to French class, and she does speak some French, which we love.
I mean, in Fanon's defense, like, I went to French class and I don't speak a lick of French anymore.
It's true, but you're no longer in French class.
Yeah. I went for 4 years and I can barely order a croissant.
Croissant! So something that made me a little sad is in this, like, so we're in the second episode of the first season. And Allison's talking to Scott, like, yeah, we're all going, like, Lydia, Jackson, tell Styles to come too. One of the things that we lose, especially in fanon, but like even in the show, is that Allison and Styles are friends.
Yeah.
We focus so much on like Allison and Scott and Allison and Lydia, and then Styles and Lydia and Styles and Scott, that we forget almost that Allison and Styles are friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like hits me in the heart place. It does.
Yep. Because the show, I mean, at some point you do kind of have to focus on core relationships.
Right.
And Allison and Styles are not, it's not them. So they do get kind of sidetracked, which is, you know, they're kind of an interesting pairing, so to speak. Not like pairing, but a friend pairing.
I mean, that too. Whatever. Yeah. Let it ride.
If you're into that, again, I don't know that it's not my jam, but if you're into it.
Yeah. This might actually be like the first kind of plot hole that I like stumbled into. So that coat that Derek put in the forest to lure Scott into the woods, it's in her locker now, but they show somebody is watching Allison with the werewolf eyes, like those like red werewolf eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who's watching her?
I'm assuming it was Derek.
I am also assuming it was Derek, but I don't know.
Is it the other one?
Yeah. Is it Scott? Is it the other one? Is it
I don't
Derek?
Think it's
is it like
God?
I don't think so. But it's because just like they don't solve it. They don't tell you.
I don't think it's Scott because he then overhears, well, because Styles tells him to, the sheriff instituting a curfew for the town, for the under 18s in the town. So he's kind of like right there. No, that happens later. Yeah, I got the feeling it was supposed to be Derek because Derek had had the jacket, but that did mean that he would have had to gone back into the woods after they got chased out by the hunters.
Yeah.
So it's either Derek or it's the other one that has been introduced.
Why
would he do it?
Why would he do it? So, but yeah, so Scott and Stiles are listening to, well, Scott is listening and Stiles is asking questions for the sheriff, and the two of them straight up in their own conversation blame Derek for killing the girl.
Yes, and they want to find the body in order to prove that it was Derek so that the sheriff can then arrest Derek for murder.
I'm really curious how they planned to do that. Like, I've seen the episode, but like, how is finding the body going to prove that it's Derek? Did they think that he like wrote them a note? Like, hi, my name is Derek. I killed this person.
I mean, I guess they thought with DNA
evidence. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, they really leapt to Derek immediately. They were like, this person that I barely remembered existed.
Murdered
this girl in the woods because it's his proper, I don't know.
Yeah.
So they go out and they confront Derek at the just sad, burnt out husk of his home. One, to tell Derek to stay away from Allison. And then Derek is like, well, I'm just looking out for you. But there is a mound of fresh dirt near the house, which does implicate Derek in something.
In something, yeah.
Or that he's building a new garden. We don't really know.
So talking about things that kind of support the characterization of folks, the quote from Derek, you think your little buddy Stiles can just Google werewolves and now you've got all the answers. Is that it?
Yes.
So I have so many questions. Also, this, I believe, is the first shot we get of Derek in his classic Henley. So I appreciate that.
Looking fine.
Looking good. Yeah, more characterization. Stiles, for the second episode in a row, admits to overdosing on Adderall.
Yeah, his poor little brain has to, it needs a break.
Yeah, it really, really does. Like, he, for the second episode in a row, it's like probably 2-3 days now.
Yeah.
Has been taking more Adderall than he should.
Yes. Which does mean that he has gone, well, I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily mean, but it does imply that he has gone to a doctor and gotten a diagnosis for ADHD.
Yeah.
If he has a prescription for Adderall. Although he could just be getting it from a dealer. But probably not. Not with the sheriff.
Yeah, I don't know.
So Stiles and Scott go to the hospital just to visit the morgue and look at the body.
So Scott goes into the morgue and finds the second half of the body.
And if you think about what he's doing, it's so he can smell it.
Yeah, so that it smells familiar.
Yeah, to match the scent as the body that he thinks is buried on Derek's property. So he's just gone in there to take a good old whiff of a dead body.
The things that boy has smelled.
Yeah.
Poor Scott.
Poor Scott. Mm-hmm.
And upstairs, Stiles is attempting to flirt with Lydia Martin, who is there, like, because Jackson's getting a shoulder looked at. But she's on her Bluetooth headset the entire time. Talk about 2010.
I love it. It's the big one, too.
Yeah.
It fits over your ear.
Yes.
Love it. Incredible. That was some pretty good tech, though, for a teenage girl.
It was. For a teenage girl in 2010, 2011, that was peak. She's rich. She's showing it off.
She is rich.
But it was definitely... It gets funnier the more time that passes, because I have not used a Bluetooth headset in so long.
No. And, you know, obviously her hair is covering it, so Stiles does not know that he's trying to, like, open his heart to this girl.
Yeah.
And she's, like, looking right at him while his mouth is obviously moving.
And she's, like, nodding and, like,
And she's just clearly on the phone.
She's clearly on the phone. It's just, why?
Yeah.
Why is this the thing you're doing?
Kind of, it hurts the heart, but...
It does hurt the heart.
It's interesting, you know, when you think about why people like other people. So far, we don't really know why Stiles likes Lydia other than she's beautiful.
Right.
He's not given us we had a talk in third grade and I've never let it go. You know, we don't know enough about any of them other than he's got his eye on a gorgeous redhead. And
right.
Yeah. So it's sometimes it's a little like, okay, buddy, let it go. She's so far out of your league.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to do that.
No, he doesn't.
So Scott comes back to the morgue and He's like, bingo, bango, we got a match. So Styles is like, cool, we're going to need a shovel. Because that's exactly my thought. I go to the morgue, I sniff some toes, I say, you know what, let's dig up a body.
You know, at least he knows that he has a friend that will dig up a body with him. Because we don't all know that about ourselves.
We don't.
So, I mean, that's good for him. Not only is the body buried, but it is wrapped up in like a linen and tied with a rope very intricately.
Yes, I have a note here. Does Derek know how to tie knots? Is he into shibari?
Looks like the answer is yes.
Those are my thoughts. Because it is incredibly intricately tied. Not just like wrap it in a pillowcase and throw her in a grave, but like
and burial rites. Maybe we've engaged with enough media in our lives that if I saw that, I'd be like, well, I'm not opening that.
Yeah. I had to dig it out of the ground. I'm not opening that. Is it cursed? Is it decomposing? It's not for me.
I'd be like, nope. I'm leaving that one alone.
No, thank you.
But it's not a girl's body. It is a wolf's body.
Well, Scott says it did smell different.
Mm-hmm. And again, they don't like back away. They're just like, huh.
They scream and then go, huh.
Yeah.
Same, yeah, yeah. Fam. Same.
So there is also a very pretty purple flower. I want to say growing, but like kind of growing nearby that Styles identifies as Wolfsbane.
Because he's been in a research
ADD spiral. Trance. Yeah. And it is tied to the rope, which is like wrapped in like a four loop circle around the body. And again,
it's not just a circle. It's a spiral.
It's a spiral.
And this is
I really appreciated the show like highlighting it in a color so you could tell.
Hey, did you know this was a spiral? Did you know that? Did you know?
Yeah. I like that.
That's one of my questions is like, because I don't think that that rope was attached to her body.
I couldn't tell.
And I can't tell. I don't think it is because they pull it from the flower, not from the other thing.
So I couldn't tell if it was all one piece of rope.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was. I think the spiral was separate from the rope around her body.
So knowing what we'll know further in the season, who planted the spiral?
I don't know.
I don't know either. And I want to know the answers.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Okay. So you need to screen cap that and then at Jeff Davis, which one did this?
Who did this?
Was it Derek or was it the other one?
Or was it somebody else?
Was it somebody else?
Da-da. So they found the body. So what happens after they found the body?
She turns back into a human girl.
No, she's dead.
Well, she is dead.
Yes.
But once they undo the spiral, the wolf turns back into a human girl.
True facts. It's the same girl.
Mm-hmm. Who is still dead.
Who is still dead and still in two pieces.
Yeah.
And so they call in the sheriff to arrest Derek.
Who looks super hot when it happens.
In that V-neck t-shirt.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm going to put my goggles on here for a moment. So Styles, in his blazer, in his t-shirt blazer combo, like sneaks into the patrol car to accost Derek now that he's been like arrested.
And made safe. Like he's got his hands behind his back in cuffs and he's behind the grate in a cop car. So Styles is like, I'm safe.
Fight me.
Fight me.
So Derek doesn't just like have a conversation with Styles. He has like a peak villain, I'd burn down the world for you kind of conversation with Styles in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so worried about me in this like deep gravelly voice? And I don't know if that was like an acting choice or like what was going on, but it was a thing. And then the words, and trust me, you want to. And in the middle of that sentence, Derek looks down and we're like, why are you looking at his mouth, sir?
Mm-hmm.
This is not the first time he does this.
Mm-mm.
Well, it is the first time he does it, but it's not the only time he does this. And I still have questions.
I think sometimes actors just can't help it.
I think like, sometimes they just make choices.
They're just, some people are just so hot.
Sometimes they just make choices.
And you're so in the moment.
And like, I get being in the moment, but it adds an interesting little wrinkle to his characterization. It's an interesting little wrinkle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the sheriff, being a pretty good cop, decides to pull Styles out of the car.
Yeah, which is probably the correct move because they do think that he's a murderer. Now, I would have liked that conversation to have continued, but
there's a lot of conversations I would have liked to have had continued. But you know what? It's all right.
Yes. So now, again, just thinking about that conversation, at no point does Derek just go, hey, do you want to know what actually happened?
Yeah, at no point.
Because he knows that Styles knows werewolves are real.
Yeah.
He could have just been like, listen, Styles, yo, I know that you know this is a thing now. Here's what the fuck is up.
Yeah.
No, but he's just like cryptically like, let me just let this linger in this car for you to keep the mystery going.
I'm keeping secrets. Isn't it alluring? Yeah. Like, you can just tell them the truth, sir.
You're like, you're right. It is alluring.
So after they pull Styles out of the car, like, we start to get a really good glimpse of, like, Styles' banter with his dad and begin to watch their relationship grow. We get to kind of see what it is. It's one of the other dynamics that we talk about in the show is the parent kiddo dynamics.
Yep.
Between Styles and the sheriff, between Scott and Mama McCall, between Allison and her dad, and sort of the things they try to do to preserve their relationships as spooky creatures and spooky creature life continues.
Mm-hmm.
But we really get a chance to see here how Styles and his sheriff dad.
I really love the family relationships in Teen Wolf.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of it, you know, is the caliber of the adult actors.
Yes.
They're phenomenal, we know this. So Sheriff Stilinski is Lyndon Ashby. Phenomenal. Daddy Argent is J.R. Bourne. So good. And then Mama McCall, who I don't even know that. Does she have a name yet in the show?
So.
I don't think so. Is Melissa Ponzio, who I have been listening to in an audio drama podcast, Bridgewater, by Aaron Mankey, which also stars Misha Collins from Supernatural.
Very nice.
So it's just kind of fun to have her in my ears sometimes playing a different character, but you're like, oh, it's also Mama McCall.
Hi, Mama. So you'll start to notice, dear listener, that we'll talk about the parents in their title names. So we talk about Mama as Mama McCall. That's Melissa. And then Papa. So it's Mama and Papa. And Papa is the Sheriff Stilinski. And then there's Mr. Argent, and that's Daddy.
Yes.
And I would apologize, but I'm not sorry.
Yeah. Apologies.
Never apologize, Miss Julia Child.
I don't know. It happened during Fanon and it just is.
Yeah, it happened during Fanon and it's just like this in my brain.
Partly because like their first names in the show aren't great.
I don't even know if you find out any of their first names for like a season or two.
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a while to find out the actual characters' names.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember who. You don't find out Coach's name for fucking ever.
No, you don't.
It's weird. It's like they didn't have names and you're like, surprise.
Yeah. So I don't think you find out the sheriff's first name until maybe season 5.
Yeah, maybe until the end.
Yeah. And they talk about, you know, it's, you know, Mrs. McCall or Mr. Mm-hmm. Argent or Sheriff. They call him Stilinski.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what adult calls another adult just by their last name unless they're bros? Like, why? Why is this a thing that you do?
Yeah. Who knows? But I don't know. Just their names were selected by the internet and that's how it is.
And that's how it is. So Scott and Styles are, you know, they're victorious and they're going in the Jeep and they're like, do down the street. And Scott's like having some feelings. He's having some like physical feelings and he's feeling weak and weird and just not good. And he's like, you got to pull the car over. And this is sort of the first hint that we get that Wolfsbane might have an adverse effect on werewolves.
Because
it turns out that Styles took that entire rope that was circled around the body and just put it in his backpack. It's cool.
Sure did. I mean, that totally makes sense for Styles, though. Like, of course he's taking it with him.
Of course. And one of my favorites, when he figures out, you know, Scott's very, like, wolfed out and grrr. You kept it? So Styles pulls the car over, takes his backpack, and just flings the entire backpack into the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Just
he
like
got some distance on that, too.
Like a shot put, just like, poo!
Yeah.
It's like, sir, you couldn't have just taken the rope? No, you had to throw the hole. Your homework was in there, sir.
I know. Sir. Gonna have to go get that.
Gonna have to go get that.
Yeah, that was funny.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I do like, I feel like they are here building some little points that of lore, right? Like the Wolfsbane and the the wolf girl, the human girl, what's going on with how the transformation works, mm-hmm. that the girl was a full wolf.
Yeah.
Right. And not the weird amalgamation, whatever we saw in the woods before. Right. She was a full wolf.
Right.
Yeah. So I like those. So Style or Scott has run off, wolfed out, and he does go to Allison's house because that's what he does when he's drawn to something. He gets hit by Daddy Argent in his car.
He does. He doesn't mean to, but no. He gets hit by a car and everyone's feeling a lot of feelings about that.
Yeah, that was hilarious because I had absolutely forgotten that that happened. But when he pops back up, he is transformed back into his normal floppy haired self. So all is fine. Because that would have been a bad move all around for everyone.
Yeah. Bad news bears.
Yep. So he kind of walks off and goes home. But we do find out that Argent is going to be at the big lacrosse game with Allison.
Along with everybody else. Everybody shows up to the big lacrosse game on Saturday.
Yep. And now Lydia is there telling Scott not to lose because Jackson is not 100% with his fucked up shoulder, even though he's gotten a cortisone shot, which I think is maybe like as far as the show is willing to go with how players are given pain and other treatments mm-hmm. in schools. Because cortisone is not that bad. It's not great for people to... He had a separated shoulder, like he really should not be playing.
No, he really shouldn't be playing. Not at all.
I don't know how that was cleared by like anybody.
Except it's coach.
But now... Coach. So Lydia's up in Scott's face being like, you can't lose because you ruined everything. But Scott starts out kind of not playing well until he sees Allison holding up a Jackson is number one sign with Lydia. And that like gets the wolf going.
It does. I'm going to put my shipper hat back on because Lydia is flirting with absolutely everybody in this scene.
Yes.
She is flirting with Scott. Like her touches and her like facial expressions and her eye contact with Scott when she's threatening him doesn't sound sexy. It's like she's flirting super hard.
Yeah.
A little bit with that boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on when she goes to Allison with the sign, again, the hard eyes, the little flirty touches. It's just like, ma'am.
Whatever it takes.
Ma'am.
Whatever it takes to get the job done.
True facts.
I did love that Scott is like literally growling with wolf teeth and gold eyes. And I think people are seeing this on the field.
Yeah. What's up with your teammate, man? Like,
yeah.
Is something up with my teammate?
Yeah. And this is what Derek did not want to happen. Because I don't know how these boys are going to explain away that there was a kid on the field with glowing gold eyes and massive canines.
Yeah.
But Scott does win the game-winning goal without really hurting anyone, even though his claws are out and poking holes through his gloves.
Yeah.
So, yay, lacrosse.
So they win the game and Scott immediately runs away because everyone is going to want to talk to him and he is not totally human right now and doesn't want to be seen.
Mm-mm.
So for the second time in two episodes, Scott goes into the bathroom, into the locker room and has what I'm pretty sure is a panic attack. He punches the mirror. He's just having a full on moment.
Yep.
And who comes after him? But Allison into this like dark, scary looking...
Mm-hmm.
horror movie-esque.
Yeah, they were really building it up like she was gonna get hurt and I was like, nah, son,
no thank you.
She's fine. He's totally chill when she finally finds him because he managed to pull the wolf back.
Yeah, almost like he's found something to, you know, to ground himself in, to like a foundation of some kind,
an anchor
perhaps,
something like that.
I don't know.
Well,
but the two of them have their first kiss in the locker room. It's very sweet with one of my favorite songs from this season of Teen Wolf.
With Styles just watching.
Styles just watching. Like, he goes in and he sees him. He's like, I should leave. He's like, no, maybe not.
But I'm not.
I kissed her. I saw.
Yeah.
Like, I know you did. Like, thanks. Thanks. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, buddy. Just checking up on you.
In today's episode of Everybody Flirts with Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To kill the mood, though, the medical examiner has determined that the girl was killed by an animal, not a human. So Derek is freed from jail. And the sheriff has ID'd the body, and it is Laura Hale, Derek's sister.
Deep sigh.
Oh no.
Oh no.
So
now they believe that Derek killed his own sister and just got away with it.
Apparently.
Yikes.
Yikes. Because, you know, Derek's family dying in a fire isn't bad enough. Now his sister has been cut in half and buried in the woods.
Very murdered.
Very, very murdered.
Very murdered.
So yeah, we have the introduction of Laura Hale.
Yeah.
His older sister, if I remember.
Yeah. Yes. His big sister.
His big sister, which is a shame because his family in Fick always seems so delightful.
Yeah, they do. They always seem really delightful.
No idea what they were like in real life.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And neither do the writers. Mm-mm. We end up meeting like in flashbacks and stuff. But yeah, so to close out, you know, we got to end on like an emotional cliffhanger. So, you know, the lacrosse field is empty and there's someone still there. And so you watch someone pick up the glove that Scott dropped and look at it. And it's got these little holes where the fingertip should be. And you watch Jackson having picked up the glove and looking at the little thingy holes and going, interesting. But who is there watching Jackson watching this glove?
Yep. Still lurking.
Still lurking, Derek Hale, sir.
And then he just walks away into the mist.
Just like, hey, I see you. Bye.
Yep. And that is the end of this episode.
What a cliffhanger.
A cliffhanger of, he's not yet an ally, Jackson. So he's a potential rusty nail in everyone's side.
Yeah, he's not like a roadblock, but he's a soft antagonist because he desperately wants to know what's going on with Scott and will not stop until he finds out.
Yep, he is a problem.
He is indeed a problem.
And, you know, half the lacrosse teams who saw Scott with yellow eyes might also be a problem, but it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah. You know, Scott's world is becoming infinitely more confusing and infinitely more convoluted. So not only is he just got like a crush on the hunter's daughter, but now they're kissing. Ooh. Mm-hmm. And he wins lacrosse games, but only with his wolfy powers. Ooh. And Derek's still there and he's still creeping out. Ooh. Like, there's just so much going on. And Scott is just trying to cope the best he can, man.
Yeah. And more people may know about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trouble on the water?
Trouble.
Not good.
No.
But why would it? I mean, you wouldn't have much of a show if everything was going hunky-dory, so.
And everything's fine.
He's a werewolf, but you guys, it's fine.
It's fine, guys. It's fine.
Do not worry about it.
He's the sheriff's son's best friend. Everything's fine.
Yeah. We are going great. Yeah. Good second episode. It's really episode one, part two.
Yeah, I think so. Because this is really like, not that the pilot doesn't have a cliffhanger, but this feels a little more like a next week on Teen Wolf kind of cliffhanger.
Definitely. This is to keep you coming back for more.
Yeah. So we have learned today that while Derek still may have killed the girl, he's not getting charged for it because killer of girl is animal.
Yep.
Derek, not animal. Werewolf. And that the dead girl is Derek's sister, Rip.
Mm-hmm.
And that Jackson is starting to think that there's something extra spooky going on with Scott. Not just that it's steroids, not just that it's whatever, but that there's like something happening.
Yep. The threads are building.
The threads are building. And I guess my question, knowing kind of where we're going, so it's Daddy Argent who shoots Scott with the crossbow, who shoots him with the arrow. Does Argent not see that it's Scott?
I feel like it's unclear that he know. It must have just been darker than it seemed on film.
Yeah. And like with the face transformation and like they might not recognize him, maybe.
Because he doesn't seem to recognize him when he hits him with the car or when he sees him at school.
Yeah.
So he must not know that it's him.
That it's him.
Yeah. Okay. Because he's not like, stay away from my daughter.
Ugh.
Yeah. So I feel like we're still in a position where he doesn't know that it's Scott.
Okay.
Which maybe he's not a great hunter and he needs some glasses.
Or maybe he should just give it up altogether. You know, murder is just not that cute.
It's not great.
It's not great.
On like a general sense. It's not. Yeah. It's a preferred means.
It's not ideal.
No. Yeah. I feel like these episodes move well.
They do. I agree. And mostly it just makes me want to keep watching. And that's the problem is I have to like watch these episodes so carefully now. I can't just like let them play. And I'm like, yes, I want to keep watching.
I mean, you can. It's cool. Now,
then I have to go back and take notes again. Because reading my notes back is such a treat for me.
Ah, yes.
I love getting to know what I was thinking.
Yes.
And how much I enjoyed the cinematography and the lens flare.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all changes throughout the seasons. Because it always does.
It always does. And kind of like looking at it holistically, they find a couple of filters that they really like.
Yes.
And I kind of wish they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just want people to look with vague skin color as opposed to being green.
Yeah. Yep.
You should look like people, healthy people, not green.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're a lizard.
Yeah.
But then...
Yeah, but then, you know, you can be green. But most of the time, I'm looking at healthy people. Mm-hmm. And they should be healthy people colored.
Yeah. Skin tone, please. Not whatever the hell is going on here.
None of this green filter. None of this, please. Yeah,
totally.
But that is a different problem for a different season.
They could retroactively go back and fix the filters. That would be great.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Considering I imagine that most are put on in post. Just like, just delete it. It's fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
We got you.
Take that Twilight filter off.
Oh, the Twilight filter. We do love the Twilight filter.
I do, actually.
All right. Anything else we got to tackle?
I don't think so. Just excited to, you know, go down memory lane.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to get a little salty and I'm going to just try to put my shipping goggles on at every possible opportunity.
Yes. Open mind.
An open mind. So there's a joke in my family because all of me and my cousins all looked pretty much identical at birth. We all just like little toddlers. We were just all like the same.
Yeah.
And there was a joke that you could just put us all in a bag and kind of shake the bag up and just throw us all back out there and no one would know the difference.
Just pick one.
Just pick one. And that's kind of how I feel about shipping on Teen Wolf.
Ah, okay.
It's like most of the time a person will take like a couple and make it their like nucleus and then everyone else kind of rotates. But like really, truly, there are just so many options and none of them are bad. They're just, they're like, some aren't for me.
Right.
Like, you've got A and B and B and C and, yeah, and C and A, and then A and B and C. You're like, you've got two hands. Why not both?
I got time. Just pick them all.
I got time. Like, it's fine. And so some people get really territorial. It's like, well, Lydia's flirting with Jackson. It's like, well, Lydia's flirting with Scott. Like, yeah, and Lydia's flirting with Allison. How many hands does she need? It's fine.
Yeah. Just let it ride, y'all.
Just let it ride, y'all. It's fine. So you will definitely hear me get my shipping goggles on over and over and over and over again. So I hope that that's fun for you, dear listener.
And if it's not, you might want to find a different podcast.
Ooh.
We're not here to make people listen.
No.
Only if you want to.
We just hope that you're here because you want to be and because you think it's fun to be here with us because we think it's fun to be here with you.
Exactly.
Yay.
So yeah, so thank you for listening. You can find us on the internet. Around wherever we may be on podcasts. Yeah, we'll figure that out. So yeah, so thank you for listening to Pack Dynamics, a Teen Wolf podcast, and we will catch you on the next episode. You've been listening to Pack Dynamics, a Fandom on the Rocks podcast. For more episodes, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us online at Fandom on the Rocks. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to our Patreon account at patreon.com/fandomontherocks. Subscribers get access to ad-free content, exclusive bonus episodes, deep diving into fandom, and more. So until next time, keep your pack close.